Hey, sans Vason! It's Jorgen Sundberg here with the Employer Branding Podcast by Link Humans, London's employer branding agency. This week, we're going to learn how a global tech company localizes and activates its employer brand across countries, languages, and a couple of continents. Sound bueno? Jolly good. Let's start the show. Buenos dias, Dalia Rodriguez.
Hola. Hola. How are you doing?
Yeah, very good, thanks. How are you?
Good, good, good. In sunny Panama.
Sunny
All
Panama.
Is good. Yes, sunny.
It's actually sunny in London as well. However, it is freezing cold on those beautiful autumn days. Yeah.
My body is not made for the cold, so I'll have to stay in sunny Panama.
Okay, right. So, apart from your name and the fact that you're in Panama, what else can you tell our listeners about who you are and what you do?
Yeah, so I'm Dell's employment brand lead for the Americas. And like I said, I'm based out of Panama, and that's in Central America, because I always get that question, like, Panama City, Florida? I'm like, no, Panama City, Panama. So I do have the fun task of positioning Dell as an employer of choice via social media. And I'm also responsible for global innovation within my team. So any new ideas to attract candidates or to raise a brand awareness via social media is within my scope.
And so Dell is founded by Michael Dell out of Texas, I think.
Yes, Round Rock. Correct.
What do Dell do in Latin America and Panama specifically? Is it production or is it sales or everything?
Yes, so it's a good question. It's actually manufacturing, production, and sales. So we do have a really strong sales force in Latin America as well.
Right. Okay. So tell us a little bit about working at Dell. What's the corporate culture like?
Yeah, so what I would say about our culture, it's that it's really flexible. Flexibility is a key aspect of Dell's business strategy that allows us to compete for the best talent. And in fact, it's actually part of Dell's Legacy of Good plan, which it actually encourages team members to enroll in flexible work programs. So for me, as a mom, it's actually huge, because not only do I get to manage when, where, and how I deliver results, but it also allows me to spend more time with my family, which is critical for me. And actually, when we ask our employees what makes them stay at Dell, that is usually the top response, is the flexibility that Dell provides to them.
So could you give us an example of this flexibility?
Yeah, so my whole team is actually working remotely. So our team is globally dispersed. So we are allowed to work from home. And in other instances, like right now, I'm working remotely from a cafe. So it's not necessarily only from home. But wherever there's Wi-Fi, you can basically work from there as long as you're delivering results. And I think Dell is really good at that.
Great. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I think that the other thing that I would highlight is the inclusiveness. Mm-hmm. I would say that because of the big presence of our ERGs, we actually have 14 ERGs around the world related to faith, ethnicity, gender, and even sustainability. So we have.
Okay, sorry, what's ERG, first of all?
Oh, employee resource groups.
Ah, okay.
That's an acronym that we use a lot within Dell. And we actually have, in Panama, we have, if I'm not mistaken, 5. So I'm a proud ally of the local pride chapter here in Panama. Woo woo! Mm-hmm. I had to say that. And I've witnessed people come out because of the safe environment Dell cultivates, not only for its employees, but for the LGBT community here. So, I mean, I think that a lot of times people feel, or they will sometimes feel compelled to bring their quote unquote work persona to work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know
so, what you mean. Yeah, so at Dell, you don't have to send your representative to work. you can be yourself and your thoughts and background will be valued. And actually, there's a motto that resonates with me that is used by in trainings by my peer Heidi in diversity, which is, we're not different from you, we're different like you. And I'd say that's the approach we take in our daily interactions, and I feel that that's what sets us apart.
Sounds good. And anything else on corporate culture you want to mention before we move on to talent challenges?
Yeah, I think I would be hung if I don't say that we pride ourselves in being entrepreneurial. So I would say there's a strong sense of empowerment amongst team members, where we're expected to contribute our ideas in a fast-paced and ever-changing environment. As you know, in tech, everything moves really, really fast, right? So change is a constant at Dell, and you have to be highly adaptable. So you're given the freedom to take calculated risk and make decisions in our own area of expertise, which helps us to be nimble.
Yeah, good, good. Okay, and I just want to pick up, you mentioned tech. So Dell was founded maybe in the 80s?
1984, correct.
Which, it's crazy that I remember. Yeah, which, that was the wave of, desktop computers and all. I remember, yes. Dell computers could be tailored to your needs and all these things, which was extremely cool back in the 80s and maybe in the 90s.
Yes.
But I'm guessing now, in terms of talent challenges, some of the best talent, they want to work in startups, or they want to work companies like,
yes,
Uber and Facebook, where they can change the world. How does that leave you guys, who are kind of, at least in my eyes, you'd be sort of old school tech?
Yes, and that's one thing that we always have to struggle with, right, is those startups. But I do feel that, with the integration with EMC, now we went from a direct model to a service solutions company. So I feel that with that acquisition, it has positioned us a bit more sexier with our candidates. And because of that integration, we increased from, I think it was 110,000 employees to 140,000. So, one of the challenges also is the scalability, right? So because of that increase that we've experienced, we now have over 10,000 job openings, but we're still expected to be nimble, efficient, and dynamic. So I think that, the acquisition definitely positioned us for the upcoming talent. However, it does present that challenge of scalability, of attraction, not only in the U.S., but all over the world. And that's where employment branding is critical for us, right? So I think employment branding does help us, sets us apart, especially in key markets. And I think another challenge would be the measurement of the employment branding, right? So when we did the integration, there's always conversations, hey, what is going to happen to employment branding? Oh my gosh, what's going to happen, right? And we've been so good at showing our stakeholders the ROI of our branding efforts that our team actually increased by another headcount because we saw the value add employment brings to the organization. So that's always a good thing. We didn't cut back on headcount. We increased. So that's great.
That's great. Yeah. So let's say for 2017, how many people, how many new colleagues did you hire for Dell?
Just one, but one.
Oh, no, I meant for Dell in general.
Oh, gotcha. So we went from 110,000 to 140.
Okay, so that wasn't with the merger. So that was actually growing in headcount.
Yes. Well, no. That was because of the merger. But what I wanted to emphasize is that sometimes, in companies, they don't find the headcount or the budget to increase the headcount in employment branding. And
That's
they
true.
Yeah, so the leaders thought that because of the integration, we did need an additional headcount. And because we were able to show the ROI of our employment branding efforts, we were able to get that additional headcount as opposed to any other organization that might have needed that headcount, right? So a lot of companies do not find that budget. Sometimes they have one person running the whole, global employment branding, right? And we're lucky enough to have leads in each region. So that helps us to increase the visibility of our brand in key markets.
That's really interesting because that's one of the main challenges I hear from employer brand leaders worldwide is measuring the ROI, measuring results, benchmarking. So that's something we're pretty big on
And
here
getting the
at Inkeats.
sources. And getting the sources to be able to do that, right? Because there's just so much that one person can do. And I saw that running, all of the Americas at one point is that, North America is a beast. Latin America is a smaller region. However, we were fortunate enough for our leaders to see the value that we bring to the table, and we were able to get that additional headcount, which I think is pretty phenomenal. When other companies, it's really hard to get that additional headcount.
Yes, absolutely. And speaking of sourcing and hiring, where do you find the best people, and how does employer brand help you with this?
Yeah, so I would say internal hires, of course. Referrals is our number two biggest source of hire. Direct sourcing, and the fourth one is careers website. We definitely leverage our careers website for candidates.
And how do you think the employment brand of Dell helps you to leverage these four channels?
Yeah, so it definitely helps increase the visibility of our brand directly and indirectly. So, for example, we're fanatical with our call to actions. So we make sure that we're consistently driving traffic to our careers website with most of our content. In addition to that, we've seen that campaigns such as the Heroes Among Us campaign, where we highlight a veteran from Dell on a monthly basis, help spread the word that we're hiring veterans. And indicators that have shown that proof of success is the amount of unique visitors we get on our military page after we post content related to veterans. So we've seen that, employment branding does, well, the careers website helps build the brand awareness and also helps increase the applied clicks to our careers website.
Great. Okay. And I know you mentioned previously as well that you're pretty big on brand ambassadors. And
Yes.
tell us why it's important to get brand ambassadors engaged with the employer brand.
Yeah, so we wouldn't be successful without our brand ambassadors. So, yeah, I have a really strong place in my heart for brand ambassadors. So they actually help build trust with candidates. So now candidates, as you know, are getting savvier with tools such as Glassdoor, Comparably, and they trust employees more than they do your corporate-led site. So the more you allow your brand advocates to lift the brand, give them a platform where they can communicate externally their day-to-day experiences as employees, the more insights you're giving candidates about the company culture, which ultimately helps them make a decision on whether or not they want to apply to your company. So, for example, if you follow our Life at Dell Instagram account, it's an employee-generated account where all we do is repost the experience of our brand ambassadors around the world. So, in fact, we actually pulled a report of our brand ambassadors globally and saw that they were just as influential than Michael Dell himself and our CMO. So that's pretty amazing. Yeah. So, we totally leverage our brand ambassadors for our employment brand, and that's something that we take pride in. And also, as I said before, referrals is a high source of candidates, right? So the more we have brand ambassadors engaged with the brand, the more likely they will refer their friends and peers to the company, right? So There's a lot of sources, like Talent Board, it says that candidates no longer want to go directly to the source to discover information about the company, but instead they want to hear from existing employees. And that's what we do. We give our employees those platforms and that leeway to talk about their experience. And that's actually helped with our brand awareness.
Great. Okay. So let's talk about this account. So it's on Instagram and Twitter. So if an employee uses the hashtag, is it
I work for Dell.
I work for Dell with a digit yes. four, isn't it?
Yes.
I'm sure I've seen. So then you will then, okay, if you approve of it, then you'll regram it or you'll retweet it.
Yes. Yes. Actually, that is the number one hashtag that our brand ambassadors use. But we also tell our brand ambassadors to use, let's say, Life at Dell. And once they use Life at Dell, that's basically a green light for us to use it on social media.
Yeah.
But if they don't have Life at Dell, then, of course, we go through the proper channels to ask them, hey, can we repost? And they usually say yes, because, you know, who doesn't want to get visibility
yeah.
through our global account? So you'll see if you visit, and I encourage everyone to visit the Instagram account, is if you go to Life at Dell, you'll see that I would say 95% of our posts, it's reposted from someone, and you can see their actual handle in the picture. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, well, they say there are only two types of social media users. The one that wants more followers.
Correct.
And the other one is liars.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, so let's have a look at your EVP, your people promise. What is the,
yeah.
what's the main, do you have like a tagline or a sentence, first of all?
Yeah, so we actually have a tagline that says, you thrive, we thrive.
Mm-hmm.
And that actually helps summarize what we promise our employees. So it touches upon what I was saying before about the work culture. So we do promise our employees a diverse and inclusive work environment, right? A place where we provide opportunities to grow. The other is an environment where we develop our employees both personally and professionally. So, for instance, you know, I just came back from a development program specifically for women. And not only did I learn some things about myself, right? It wasn't all positive, but it's okay. but I got information and tips that I'll be able to use throughout my career. And I'm totally grateful for that. So they... that is another point that they do emphasize on, is developing you personally and professionally. And they do recognize employees that show an entrepreneurial spirit. They provide a collaborative environment, as well as, like I said, a flexible environment where our employees can pick and choose where, when, and how they work best.
Great. So I'll tally it up to six pillars, basically. I'll make sure that we put those in the show notes. That's really interesting. And how do you communicate and activate this EVP?
Yeah, so like I said, we have that motto that says, you thrive, we thrive, right?
Mm.
So we think that Dell is just as strong as its people. And as long as we stay true to our EVP, we feel that our employees will feel valued and challenged. And in result, we'll put our customers and each other first, right? So I think that's a good slogan to help summarize the EVP. But I think most importantly is that we have our leadership buy-in. So we've created culture code videos and infographics and use them both internally and externally to help explain our EVP. And our leaders are really good at repeatedly, you know, they talk about the EVP and they make sure that the employees are aware of it and make sure that internally and externally our communications and actions are aligned to it. So, for example, our global content strategy is aligned to our EVP, and that's just one example of many.
So if I look at Michael, well, if I see Michael Dell speaking at a conference or look at his Twitter account or interviewed in a magazine, will I see him talking about the EVP, you think?
Yeah, he'll probably be talking a lot about our culture code and what we what we value most as a company. So you won't hear him say, hey, our EVP, but the key word here is culture code. A lot of our leaders use that as a way to explain to our employees, you know, what we value as a company and what we want to provide to you as our employees.
And so the actual culture code, is it similar to Netflix? It's its own slideshow somewhere where people can flick through it? You mentioned infographics and so on.
Yeah. So a culture code is basically a way for us to visually show the EVP.
Yeah.
So it's basically a term that we have to describe our EVP, right? So it shows, you know, what kind of culture we have within Dell that we've cultivated within Dell through our EVP. And so in order to visually show that, we do create the videos, we do create the infographics, and we put, you know, we integrate culture code. And those are the little keywords, those little subtle words that we hope resonates with our employees. And I've actually seen employees talk, how is that aligned to our culture code? So people are constantly trying to align what they're doing to the culture code. And, you know, they even ask the leaders and hold them accountable
good.
That, you know, you're aligning yourself with the culture code, right? So,
and is this code plastered up all around the Dell buildings around the world?
Where, yes.
Yeah.
Well, I would say more so we promote our videos, we promote our infographics, and so we do have an intranet where all of this information is available for our employees. So if they do want to print it up, it's available for them.
So here's a tip for you, Dahlia. I spoke to Microsoft a couple of months ago. They're probably not competitors to you guys. They have their EVP printed on everyone that has an ID card to get into a building. EVP is on and also on every screensaver. So you'll see it all the time subconsciously, I think.
Yes. And I think that putting it on your badge, I think, would be really cool. And I think it's a great idea because all of our meetings, I would say, touches upon the culture code, but it's not as overt, you understand? So we do say those keywords, but I think that's great for it to be printed everywhere. I mean, if we could do that, that'd be great.
Great. Okay. So you're based in Panama, and Dell is an American, US company, I should say. And so I imagine you would have to localize some of the content that you guys are putting out throughout Latin America.
Yes. That's something we're really proud of in Latin America. Yes.
How do you go about doing this?
Yeah, so I would say if I could simplify it, because there's so many things involved in localizing a content strategy, but I would say identify local resources and train them on your brand guidelines and content strategy. So in my case, we have interns assigned to our key markets in Latin America, and it has helped tremendously to have the interns, because the interns in Latin America, we have them for at least a year and a half. Unlike North America, the interns are only for 3 months.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so we leverage the interns in Latin America. I would also say create quality content in local language that authentically showcases the company's EVP, right? So the EVP, I would say globally, is the same, obviously. But there's those, you know, certain nuances, there you go, that are involved in the local markets, right? So we make sure that we create local content in local language, and we've seen that we get higher engagement when we do that. I would say also to consistently deliver content 3 to 4 times a week via geo-targeting functions by using platforms such as Facebook and LinkedIn to build that audience. Identify local brand ambassadors to engage and amplify content. That's key to our local content strategy, is our brand ambassadors. And then obviously making sure you measure and consistently communicate results and lessons learned to stakeholders.
Yeah. Okay. And so just the Latin America, it's a big place. And I imagine there's Spanish and there might be Portuguese communication.
Yes.
But do you use the same, let's say, in same messaging in Panama as you would do in Chile or Bolivia?
So that's a good question. So right now we're doing sales hiring. We're constantly doing sales hiring around the world. And what we've done, the approach we've done for the sales hiring is that we use the same message that we use in Panama for Peru and Chile, and just to be efficient. And then we also have a content strategy specifically for Brazil in sales. So obviously that message is in Portuguese. So in order, you know, it goes back to that point I said for us to be nimble for sales, since we're hiring a lot of the same messages, we've created content, the same content we use for Panama, we use for Chile, Peru, Mexico, Costa Rica. Now, if it's when we get more specific is when we, let's say, for instance, in Panama, we have key functions that we recruit for, which is customer care, sales, and finance. So for those three key functions, we do use local employees, the local lingo, right? Because there's a lingo or a different a dialect for each one of the countries, right? So once we use the local dialect, it totally resonates more so than, you know, using the same message throughout Latin America. So for certain functions and certain locations, we are really local. But in order for us to be efficient, let's say in sales, and since we're looking for the same type of functions all across Latin America, we use the same messages across certain geographies.
Great. Okay. And could you let us in on any initiatives that you're particularly proud of in terms of your content strategy?
Sure. So I would say we've established good relationships with our in-house marketing team. So a lot of our content is done in-house. Mm-hmm. We have established relationships with the Dell's global social media team, which we didn't have when I first started. So that helps in regards to awareness and amplification. And we also have a good relationship with our internal communication. So the essence of our content closely aligns with our brand and reflects our EVP. Most importantly, we have the full support of our chief HRO and his staff, which obviously makes things a tad bit easier for us, right? So I would say that's an initiative that we're particularly proud of. The local content strategy in LATAM is we've experienced a lot of success there, where we've gotten a organic growth in followers of over 200% in three key markets. And because of that success, we've been replicating that approach in Europe. So I think, yeah, so right now we have two interns that are focusing on, if I'm not mistaken, Slovakia and Ireland, which is two of our key markets in Europe. So because of the success we've gotten in Latin America, we've been able to replicate that approach in Europe. I want to say EMEA because that's an internal acronym, but in Europe, we've been able to duplicate those efforts.
Mm-hmm. Great. So that's some fantastic results. And I'm sure along the journey, you've hit a few brick walls as well. Are there any hard lessons there that you can share with us?
I would say the relationships, like I said, with marketing, corporate communications, and internal stakeholders is key to avoid duplication or miscommunication of the same topics. So a while back, we were getting asked information about diversity, right? And we started to see that other organizations were writing and were talking about diversity. So what we did was that we immersed ourselves into those conversations to let them know, hey, this is what we're doing. We talk a lot about diversity via our platforms. How can we help you and avoid to avoid reinventing the wheel when we're already doing a lot of the work, right? So once we started showing the value, I think that totally helped in building those relationships with those key groups.
Right. So it's basically getting along with marketing, corporate communications, maybe internal communications, and you or HR, basically. Yep.
I would say that those are one of the hard lessons that we learned, and now we are included in a lot of conversations. So if we do have information, we share it, and if they have information, they share it with us. So it's a two-way street for sure.
Yeah, great. And I know you got some thoughts around stock photography as well.
Stock photography. So we try to stray away from stock photography.
Good.
So we just created our first banner in Brazil with our employees. And what's hard about that is that our channels are global in nature, right? So we are really sensitive in balancing out our information to reflect each one of our regions. So that's why we've leaned on stock photography, let's say for our cover pages, right? But in Brazil, we just created one, and it's actually getting a good reception in Brazil. So we're continuing to leverage that more and more. And let's say it's social assets, we try to use more of our employee pictures. As long as it's high quality and it's a good reflection of our work culture, then we'll use it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think it's worth, instead of subscribing to Getty Images, it's worth getting a photographer in for a few days just to shoot some actual stock imagery from real people in your real office, and then make sure that they allow you to use those. Because then you have, they are stock images, but at least they're real, authentic ones.
Yeah, and for some reason, when you look at stock photography, you just know they're fake. For some reason, you just don't. You know that they're not from Dell. I don't know how that's even possible, but whenever you do use your brand ambassadors and your employees, it reflects the authenticity and it reflects your work culture, which I think at the end of the day is what employees want to know.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. So if you were to give three top tips to employer brand managers listening to this right now, what would they be?
The authenticity part, right? So candidates can see through disingenuous content. So being as authentic and true to your EVP, I think is key. So leveraging and engaging your brand ambassadors in your content, because I feel that employment branding is all about them. It's reflecting what they do on a daily basis, and stock photography just doesn't do it for us, right? And I think that the second thing I would say is to be clear with your employment brand team, what your team objectives are. So not just to post, right? And making sure that they know what you're measuring and make sure that this is aligned to your stakeholders' goals by constantly communicating the ROI of your branding efforts as much as you can. And like I said, because we were able to communicate the ROI of our branding efforts, I was able to get the interns for Latin America. We're able to replicate that in Europe. So constantly showing the ROI is key. And then I would say lastly is focusing on the audience growth instead of engagement is a big mistake. Because we used to do that when we first started, right? Mm. So focusing on creating quality content to increase your community engagement is key, because this is where the tangible results come from. Everything else to me is smoke and mirrors, right? So like I said, initially we spent some budget on increasing our audience, right? And we started increasing our audience so that we were able to show our stakeholders, hey, we were able to grow by 50% in the first quarter, right? And then it started getting stale. And we started getting questioned, okay, so that's great, but how does that impact the applications? So then we had to, that was probably over 3 years ago. And oh my gosh, what happened? Are you okay?
It was just a poster falling down. No worries. Keep talking.
And so when we started getting those questions as far as, you know, how does employment branding affect the applications? Because at the end of the day, that's what the stakeholders care about, is how many people were you able to attract through social media? So once we started getting those questions, we started changing our approach, right? So really driving engagement is key for us. So we no longer spend budget on increasing our audience. We do spend a lot of time creating quality content, because that's where we've seen the results. In Brazil, I don't sponsor any posts, and globally, we get the highest engagement. So that's what I would say. Yes, that's what I would say, is to focus on creating that quality content. And if you do that, the audience will come, but you have to be consistent with it, right? So that's how we've seen a lot of a great results and success in Latin America.
Wow, okay. Right, Sandra, so you touched on this a bit, but just give us a lowdown, the breakdown rather, on how you go about measuring ROI on employer brand, because I know you have some specific metrics.
Yeah, so we measure both tangible and intangible results. So we primarily measure the results from our campaigns that help meet a talent objective by calculating the amount of applicants we get via social media. And we actually use the Aperture CRM. Okay. We measure the reach and engagement of our campaigns. So if we get a high engagement on our campaigns, we take that as a way to let us know that both employees internally and our external audience is resonating with the campaign. And then the unique visitors we drive to our pages by measuring page views and applied clicks, right? So we do measure that. So like I said earlier, when we post pieces of content around veterans, we see the amount of page views and applied clicks go up in our veterans page. When I put the call to action to every one of our posts, let's say in Latin America, right, we're consistent with those call to actions, we see that we experience an increase in page views and applied clicks. So those are the three things I would say we measure, is the amount of applicants, the reach and engagement, and the unique visitors we drive a result of the call to actions we use in each piece of content that we create.
Interesting. I would say these are very marketing driven metrics, and it's almost like an e-commerce campaign type of ROI calculation. Do you also look at quality of hire, how long people stay within the organization, or is that someone else's problem?
Yeah, so we try to get that we actually do get that from talent acquisition. However, we feel that our main purpose is to bring a brand awareness and increase the amount of applicants. So the quality of hire is something that is probably next in our evolution of providing the ROI to our stakeholders. Yeah. We haven't gotten to that point yet. Have you met companies that are measuring the quality of hire through their branding efforts?
Well, some companies you have to start with just measuring quality of hire. Full stop, and then you can perhaps tie that back to employer brand. But it is very tricky.
Indirectly. Yeah, it is. And that's why I'm asking, because if you have any, you know, tricks, you know, or I would love to know it, because when we have those conversations, we usually go to HR and say, okay, what is happening in that specific organization that is, if they have a high retention rate, what are they doing to be successful? If they do have a high turnover rate, what are they doing, right? So it's not something that we tie back to employment branding, but it's something good that it's a good information to have, but it's not something that we tie directly to employment branding.
Okay, yeah. I mean, another metrics worth looking at, I think, is looking at, for instance, salaries. So if you have a strong employer brand, then you shouldn't have to pay such a high salary premium. In fact, you might be able to get the best people without paying the best salaries. Or other spending metrics, like if you can cut on your budget for instance, using staffing firms or for using advertising. So I think when if you had the best engagement in Brazil on Facebook, for instance, then you probably saved quite a lot of money that by not by doing a really good campaign without spending the money. So that's
a good point, because we don't use staffing agencies in North America or in Latin America. We don't use it. Everything is in-house. However, it brings up a good point that right now we are measuring the cost per hire thanks to Avature. Right. So we are being able to measure that. I don't have those stats in front of me, but it would have been good, because since we're good at measuring the ROI of branding efforts, the next step is to show the cost per hire. And this is something that is cooking for the past like 3 to 4 months. So it's something that hopefully by next year we'll be able to provide to our stakeholders.
Interesting. Yeah, I love geeking out on the whole measurement piece. Okay, so moving on from that now, what companies beyond Dell inspire you in terms of employer branding?
You know, I would say L'Oreal. I just love the way they cater to their audience. So I would say L'Oreal and Hootsuite. I actually, our team usually follows them to get up-to-date trends. And I think that helps us. We usually also see what our peers are doing just on Facebook, right? So we have our team. It's really they're really creative, and they'll say, "Hey, my friend did this. How about we do it for employment branding?" So we actually get ideas from our friends and what they do on Facebook Live, and say, "Hey, my friend did this on Facebook Live. What about we do that?" So not only do we look at companies, but we also see what our peers are doing, especially the millennials. They get so creative, and they're just a good source of creativity that it's amazing what they can come up with. And like I said, you know, the success of our local content strategy is largely due to our interns and their creativity. So I have a high respect for millennials and what they do on social, and I see what they're doing, and we try to translate that into our employment branding efforts, which I think keeps it fresh.
Yeah, absolutely. Great point. Okay, so if you look up, look into the crystal ball, what's next for employer brand in general and also employer brand at Dell?
Yeah, so that made me think a bit, and I would say a more personalized, customized approach towards employment branding with tools such as chatbots, I think will be used to enhance the candidate experience. Like I said, using more of a local approach with local POCs will also become increasingly important to build the brand awareness and increase the number of applications, because ultimately that's what the stakeholders care about. So, like I said, we are duplicating that approach in Europe. And so hopefully we'll duplicate that in India, which is one of our biggest audiences in social. So I think that would make sense. And the other point would be the scalability with video content. Creating more in-house videos instead of hiring vendors to create videos, I would say, is the future for Dell, because we've seen the success we've gotten in LATAM. So for the past year and a half, I would say 2 years, we've created homemade videos because we didn't have the budget, right? So we partnered with our business leaders and our brand ambassadors, and we actually taught them on our brand guidelines. And when they create the videos, it totally captures the essence of the work culture. And in result, it has gotten higher engagement than our flagship videos created by vendors, right? And so we are now replicating that approach in our other regions, and we're basically empowering our leads to do the same, right? Mm-hmm. And not only are we saving on time and on budget, but the collaboration with the local teams helps build excitement around the brand, which in turn creates that high engagement, right? So in fact, our videos have done so well and are so popular that we get approached by leaders and employees requesting to come out on the videos. I started to say that, hey, we need to start doing casting calls with the video, because there's some people that are not made for video, but we've seen that the people that want to be on video do really well. Mm-hmm. And so we engage and we leverage the brand ambassadors that want to come out. And once their family and friends know that they're on social, man, it's the greatest feeling, because you start saying, oh, look at you. And then once they start seeing more brand ambassadors, they also want to work at Dell, because they see how we leverage them and how appreciative we are of them, because of our employees, we thrive, right? So we totally captured that in LATAM and Latin America, and we're trying to capture that in other regions as well.
Great. Yeah. And would you say, are you one of those people who are good on video? I know I have a face for podcasting, so.
Okay. Yes.
Do you enjoy video and audio, or do you like writing? Where can we find the most of your content? Yeah.
Me personally, I don't like video. I like producing it. And I've gotten asked a lot, Dahlia, you'd be great. Why don't you come out? No, that's okay. I'll stick to writing and producing. I like more writing and producing these videos and seeing the results of them.
Yeah. Okay, great. Well, where can our audience learn more about Dell and its employer brand? Where can they find some of your content you've created? And also, can they find you on social media?
Yeah. So people can reach me through LinkedIn, Dahlia Rodriguez, D-A-L-H-I-A. So you can reach me through LinkedIn. You can reach me through Twitter, Dahlia at Dell. And as far as the corporate sites are concerned, you can see our content on at Careers at Dell. And on Facebook, you can also follow us at Careers at Dell. So you'll see a lot of our content there. And feel free to follow us and let us know your feedback.
And these videos are on YouTube and Facebook, maybe?
Yeah, so on YouTube, we do have a channel. It's called Dell Careers. Mm-hmm. So a lot of that content you can see on YouTube as well. And that's a good point, because a lot of the content that my team creates is geo-targeted for folks in Latin America. So if you are living somewhere in Europe, you're not able to see it on Facebook because it's geo-targeted. But on YouTube, you will be able to see it. So that's a good point. And some of that is also used on Careers at Dell, if, in fact, they're speaking English. But most of it is on YouTube.
Great. We'll check that out. All right. Muchas gracias, Dahlia.
De nada, and thanks for having me here, and I hope that your audience finds a lot of useful tips from this. And your feedback is great, Jorgen. I appreciate it.
Right. Cheers. Bye now.
All right. Take care. Bye.
All right, I hope that was useful. Everything Dahlia and I discussed will, of course, be in the show notes article, which you know by now is available at employerbrandingpodcast.com. Right, so as you may know, this segment of the show is all about me giving a shout out to someone who shared the podcast on social media. This week, it's Leslie Taylor from New Zealand, all the way in New Zealand. And she is the employment brand manager at The Warehouse Group, which is a general merchandiser in New Zealand. And she was very kind to share the podcast episode with Simon Barrow on LinkedIn. This is what she wrote. 45 minutes drive into work. 45 minutes podcast with Simon Barrow, the creator of employer brand Meant to Be. What a beauty of an update. Thank you so much for tuning in, Leslie. And a pro tip for those shorter journeys, crank up the speed to 2x, so two times the speed, and your ears will soon get used to the fact that people sound like chipmunks. Thank you very much for your support of the podcast, Leslie. Find Leslie on Twitter at LeslieTaylorNZ. Do you fancy a shout out next time? All I ask is that you share the podcast in one way or another on social media and you'll be in the draw. Tack så mycket. Now, in other news, struggling to define the business case for employer branding. This is something I hear a lot. Link humans to the rescue. We've recently published an article and infographic with the top 10 reasons why employer branding is critical to your organization. It's, of course, on the Link Humans blog, on social media everywhere, and I will also stick the link in the show notes. And I hope this piece is useful. We certainly learned a lot by going through hundreds and hundreds of stats. Yeah, I think it will have been a couple of hundred around employer brand and really picking up what we felt were the cherries in there. So any feedback on the 10 that we did pick out is most welcome, of course. And the way to get in touch with me would be to send me an email at jorgen@linkhumans.com or find me on social media. Look forward to hearing from you. That's it for this week. Many thanks for tuning in and catch you next time. Hey do!
What's the name of a cheese that's not yours?
No idea.
Nacho cheese.